Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How's everybody doing? I hope you guys are doing well. This is the beginning. Actually, it starts right when October starts, my favorite time of the year. And this week, I love the week of Halloween. It's so fun. So if you get into it like I do, I just love it. So I hope you guys are, you know, going to do something really cool this year, you know, to celebrate. We need more celebration. So today I have eclectic pagan witch Danae Sweet on with me, and in the spirit of Samhain and Halloween, we're going to talk all things witchy, and she's going to join us here in just a few minutes. For those of you who are new tuning into my show for the first time, I am also an author. And my book is titled Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. There are 30 manifesting stories along with photographs that I take of the contributors' manifesting postcards. And I include writing exercises to help us get clear on what we want to manifest and a toolbox full of fun exercises on how to manifest love, money, health, career, and so much more. So if you're interested in that and those stories and doing some inner work exercises, please find my book at your favorite bookstore and purchase a copy. It's all inspirational stuff and transformational stuff, so it's all good. Each week, I share a Magic Monday message, and it's an image of a manifesting postcard that I photograph with an affirmation that I like to focus on for that week. And I tap into the energy of that affirmation and keep repeating it to myself to increase its power to become a new belief that I incorporate into my life. And this week's magic message is, don't let them tame you. And I thought, well, that's just perfect for today's show, since we're talking about pagans and witches and powerful women and goddesses. And, you know, that scares the hell out of people. So we're going to... We're not going to let it tame us. And being yourself is the most powerful thing that you can do. So set strong boundaries for what you allow and don't allow to come into your energy space. Don't shift who you are for other people. Women have a tendency to want to please everyone else, and we leave ourselves last. And by the time we get to ourselves, we are exhausted and beaten down. But we allow that, and that is how we let them tame us. We need to stop right now and take our power back. So we're going to talk more about that too in just a few. So to see the images of my Magic Monday messages with the affirmations, please go to my website, Postcards to the Universe, or any of my social media accounts, and I post them each week. And for those of you who do follow my shows each week, I'm happy to say I have gotten my Facebook back. So for those of you who don't know, I think it was in August, God, my Facebook was hacked, and I did everything to get it back going through Facebook and was not getting any responses. So I had to hire a company to recover my account. Now, it's not totally fixed. There's still a couple things that aren't working correctly. It's been a process, let me tell you. But now I can at least get on my Facebook and post, and I can get back into my group, which I'm super excited about. My group's called Postcards of Love. So if you're looking for an inspirational group to join, you can check out Postcards of Love. And all I post and everybody can post is inspirational images and stories. So yeah, join us if you want to do that. Okay, next week I have Hayden Starbuck on, who calls herself a creatrix. Her biggest achievement is creating a life she loves. She lives and breathes creativity, be it dog raising, conversations, her work, or stories she tells too about herself. And her number one personal goal is to have fun. She delights in sharing her passion for creativity and play. So join me next week for some creative fun with Hayden. It's going to be fun. All right. So to get to my guest today, Danae Sweet is an eclectic pagan witch, and she discusses witchcraft, paganism, spirituality, social topics, feminism, spirit guides, spells, and magic on her podcast titled Witchy Woman Podcast. She interviews spiritual and occult authors as well as social media witch creators. Her podcast is inclusive to any faith or belief system. Danae has always had a special knack for sensing people's energy and realized later in life that she was an empath. This realization was the first step in her accepting her gifts and purpose in life. Along the path, the idea of serving humanity in a larger scale turned into mind-body wellness practice. She incorporated her training as a clinical hypnotherapist, life and spiritual coach, Reiki practitioner, and intuitive medium to serve others. She has also created the Witchy Woman Academy for those searching for knowledge of witchcraft, the metaphysical, spiritual, and psychic abilities. And to find out more about her, you can go to her website, which is witchywomanpodcast.com. Hi, Danae. Thanks for being here with me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, good. We're going to have fun. Okay, so I'm going to let you share a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then we'll get into what does it mean to be a pagan witch.
Okay. Okay. Well, you're my bio. You, what you said was pretty accurate.
I'm glad I got it right.
Right. So yeah. Outside of that, I live in the Midwest, in the middle of nowhere. I am an eclectic witch, like you said, which means to me, that means that I don't have a specific path that I follow, or a cultural path. Like I'm not a Celtic witch or a fae witch or whatever. I pull from different things that resonate with me, as long as it's not a closed practice, of course. And that's how I do my witchcraft practice, and that's how I create it. I also am a pagan, meaning that I honor different gods that are deities that are not the Abrahamic god. So not all of my spell work includes deity veneration, but some of it does. The way I got to the podcast, so I had a brick and mortar store. It was a little witchy store in town. And of course, that was weird for everybody out here to see that. And I held on to that for like 2 years. And then in 2019, I had to close due to my health. And I was really bummed. And I had already started the podcast like as a, well, I need more to do. Let's do a podcast. Okay. So after I closed, it actually gave me 100% of my time to focus on the podcast and recreate kind of what my goals were with it. And since then, it has just been an amazing journey. I have met like lifelong friends because of the podcast and the groups that I have. It's just been the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in my life so far. Well, you know, besides having my daughter and getting married and the mundane stuff.
Right. Yeah, of course. Right. Of course, the real life stuff that you do every day. Yes, I know. Yeah, family. Well, that's just a given. Family, you know, spouses, children. Right. We'll just say. Yeah, that sounds cool. Well, it's interesting that you had to close in 2019 because
I did.
With COVID happening in 2020, even if your health wasn't affected, there was a chance that you may have had to have closed your shop then.
Absolutely. It was divine timing. It really was. I had made the hard decision to close my shop. Like literally, I got the last bit of things out of my physical shop on the 30th of May, I believe, and we moved into our new house on June 1st. So it was like a lot of change, but it was good. It like catapulted me forward. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell for people who have no idea what it means to be a pagan witch, can you like delve into a little bit more of what that is? You know, people have a preconceived idea of what a witch is, you know, and it's not anything like that. So I'll let you share.
No. So when we think of a pagan witch, first I want to talk about witchcraft in general. So witchcraft is inherently secular, meaning there's no deity veneration. with it. It's a kind of a form of animism, believing that the elements and different herbs and rocks and things like that have energy. And that's what you work with in your witchcraft. And this is like the most basic way I can explain it. Mm-hmm. So right. There's witchcraft. So that makes me a witch. Now, because I have deities that I honor, and I also include them in my witchcraft practice, to me, that's a, you know, that's non-secular. So the fact that I'm a pagan means that I honor deities that are not of the Abrahamic traditions. So Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, that God wouldn't be one in my practice. I do honor other ones. So that makes me pagan. Pagan just, I guess in the simplest terms, just means not honoring the Abrahamic gods mm-hmm. or God. That makes sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. And I actually looked something up today, and I copied this and pasted it so I would say it, because I thought this was pretty short but accurate description of paganism today. It says, so paganism mm-hmm. today is a movement that consists of many different perspectives. Most American pagan religions have practices that blend different traditions such as Celtic, Greco-Roman, Native American, ancient Egyptian, and Norse. Pagan traditions draw from ancient beliefs, as well as from modern beliefs formed in the last century. For example, paganism found an ally in the ecological and feminist movements of the 60s and 70s. Pagan philosophies appealed also to many eco-activists who also saw nature as sacred and recognized the great goddess as Mother Nature. And I thought, well, that kind of incorporates it in a small paragraph of what it is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And what it's not. Yeah, and what it's not. Yeah.
Most of those are just, they're earth-based religions or earth-based spiritual paths, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Why do you think so many associate paganism and witchcraft with dark energies?
Because, don't get me started.
Your laugh makes me laugh. Yeah, you sound like a real dark witch.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So I think that media in general has a lot to do with it. If you watch a scary movie, there's obviously going to be, like, if it's about any kind of, like, dark cult or something, you're going to see a pentagram.
Right.
And that's not an inherently evil symbol. And we associate pentagrams with witches. Also, some religious beliefs are that witches are evil no matter what. And mm-hmm. if you're on social media long enough, you'll run into those who will tell you just that. And I just mm-hmm. smile and say, bless your heart. But I think that social media, movies, TV, even books and publications like that have a lot to do with how we're portrayed.
Yeah.
It's good to have a scapegoat in movies and stories. If you look at like Disney princesses, there's always a witch. It's always the evil. Evil. So I think from a young age, we are shown that image of the crone, witch mm-hmm. as something that would be negative.
Yeah, but interestingly enough, if you notice, they always have the most interesting stories of all of the characters in the Disney, in the whole thing. Like, it's much more interesting than being a princess waiting for some prince to rescue you, right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
They should focus on that. Are you listening, Disney?
Yes.
Right? The whole untapped market.
It is. I mean, how many kids, you know, that should have been watching Maleficent watched it and was like, I'm going to be her. She's bad mama jamma.
Exactly. So now, just for clarification, because you'll see witch and then you see Wiccan. And there is a difference. So, and it always confuses me. So I'll let you explain it.
Sure. So Wicca is an actual religion. So it's organized, it has tenets and rules to what they practice, just like Christianity does. So it's a recognized religion within the United States. A witch is someone who calls herself that, or him, or whoever.
Okay.
So when you're Wiccan, you are a Wiccan witch, or just Wiccan. If you're a witch, this kind of leads me to like the most asked question I get in my DMs is, how do I know I'm a witch? Or how do I, what do I have to do to call myself a witch? You right. simply do. That's it.
Oh, that's it. Right.
Okay. If you really want to be a witch, if you feel that that's who you are, then that's who you are.
Right. That makes sense. So, and if you want to join a more organized practice, you could join with other Wiccans and be a part of the Wiccan rituals and stuff. Now, do you practice a solitary, or are you a part of a coven?
I have mostly solitary. Recently in our area, we've been trying to connect with other pagans and witches, because we live in a, like, just to give an example, my town that I live in is a population of 270. So,
are you serious? That's it?
That's it. I live in a literal, we're in a village. Wow. So the next town over. Yes. So we actually have a group of of witches and pagans that we've been kind of gathering on different celebrations, just to get to know each other and then maybe do some coven activity later. But that's the first interaction I've had in person with other witches. It's been cool.
Since you moved to where you are now, or just ever?
Ever. So I grew up 30 minutes from the place I live now. And that town is smaller than this one.
Oh my God.
And when I was in, it's so tiny out here. It's beautiful and it's quiet. But I never had the opportunity.
Well, that's really cool that you're connecting in such a small area with other people that are also practicing. Okay, so we're going to talk about some traditions and especially Samhain, which is coming up.
Yeah.
So stay tuned and we'll be back in 2 minutes. So please stay with us.
Okay.
Hi. I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives. Welcome back. I have Danae Sweet on today with me, and she is a pagan witch, and we're talking about all things witchy, and she has a really cool podcast called Witchy Woman Podcast, so you guys check that out. Okay, so what's coming up now is Samhain, and I'll let you share what that is for those who...
Sure.
What the heck are they talking about?
So Samhain is one of our Sabbat, which is your version of a holy day or a sacred day that we celebrate. It marks the halfway. It's the halfway mark between fall equinox and winter solstice. And usually it is celebrated somewhere between October 30th and November 1st. A lot of us do it right on Halloween because, it's spooky.
Of course, it's fun.
Yes. And it actually has kind of a Celtic-based origin. We call what we practice now neo-paganism or new paganism, just because paganism back in the day isn't the same as it is now, because we're different. Right. So that's kind of where the roots come from.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Cause I was reading that it says, it's a sacred, I guess sacred festival. And, I was reading it. It's from Celtic spiritual tradition and it welcomes in the harvest and ushers in the dark half of the year. And
Absolutely.
Over time, Samhain and All Saints or All Souls merged into the modern Halloween. So that's why.
Right.
Kind of all around the same time. So Samhain, or do you do anything specifically? Do you like set up a whole, because I have some other friends that are witches and, you know, it's a big day for them. You know,
it is
of celebration and a lot of rituals that they do. So what do you like to do? Share with us.
Sure. So for me, and this is going to vary from practice to practice. But for me, Samhain marks that last harvest. So I do a lot of gratitude work, gratitude for my garden, the herbs that I had, you know, harvested. And then I look back at the year from spring and look at everything that I tried to manifest on like Ostara. Has everything worked out how I wanted it to? What have I gained? What have I learned? Because to me, what we learn is part of what we harvest. So for me, that's a big part of it. And that involves a lot of meditation and grounding and really connecting with the earth and my deities that I work with. But also another part of it for me is setting up a dumb supper. I know that sounds like a strange word, but
I know what a dumb supper is. So I'll let you share what a dumb supper is.
Sure.
They're cool. Sure. They're really cool. I was thinking of setting up kind of like a dumb altar.
And
I have an altar.
And that's kind of how I do it. I'll tell you what like the traditional version of it is.
Okay.
So traditionally you set a table for, you know, your guests, your family on that night, and you set one chair apart at like the head of the table for your beloved dead or ancestors. Mm-hmm. So you ask everybody, when you come to my dinner, please bring a candle for your beloved dead and a note. It's private. You write a little letter or something you want to ask your ancestors, whatever it is, fold it up and that's what you have with you. So everybody gets seated and it's silent. That's why it's called a dumb supper. It's silent. So nobody talks the entire time, which I could never do. But
right.
Yeah, like, that's no way.
That's really hard to do.
It is. And you're supposed to serve the seat that is reserved for spirit. So you'll have that seat and you serve that one first and then everybody else. Everybody gives thanks in your head. You have a silent prayer. Everybody eats. And then you're going to one by one go to that spirit chair, put your candle down, you know, that's already lit because you put it there. So it's lit. You go to there and you take your piece of paper and you burn it with your candle flame. And that's kind of releasing those prayers or whatever that you wanted to say to your ancestors into the universe. And it goes like that until everybody's done. And then everybody just silently gives thanks again and it's done. That's like short version of it.
Right.
To me, I can't sit still. I have cats and you're supposed to leave that supper for them out all night. There's no way. I have too many animals.
No, if you have animals, forget it.
Do it like you mentioned. I put it on my altar. I have one plate that I save that's pretty for Samhain, and I put it on my altar and I serve all of my ancestral, like all my ancestors were highly German and Scottish. So I try to pick some things that kind of follow what they would have tried to, you know, maybe have eaten. I'll give them some wine and I sit with them silently, just asking them to be there. And I'm a medium, so I can also speak with them if I want to. And that's usually the extent of my ancestor work during that time. And the reason people do that often is because the veil is hella thin. Like it's super thin. So our ancestors, it's easier for them to communicate with us and for us to communicate with them.
Mm,
makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what I hear. I hear that the veil is thinner at this time for us to be able to communicate.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're going to do that on your altar instead of having it. Yeah. Cause at dinner, especially around now, it's really hard to sit with a bunch of other people and be super quiet the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way. Also I can shut I have a door to my witch cave and that's where my, my altar is, so I can just shut it and I don't have to worry about the cats getting into it.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yes.
So you said you work with deities. Is there a specific that you like that you're attracted to? And here, I just want to point this out. There's no wrong way from all the books that I've read, from all the practices and the things that I've done, for all the spells and rituals that I've done. There's no wrong way to do it. You don't have to follow anybody else. You can make it up as you go. You can even make things up as you go. Whatever feels natural to you, as long as you're feeling you're connecting to something, I think, then that's what's right for you, right?
Yep. And that's basically how I read a ton. I am like a book hoarder. So I read a lot and I get a lot of my information from other witches that are authors and that sort of thing. So I kind of just pick things that resonate with me, but I honor Hecate. That was my patron goddess. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with Lilith and Persephone as well.
Okay.
So those would be the ones that I have an altar for, and I do like veneration. I give them offerings and that sort of thing on a regular basis.
Now, is there anyone that specifically comes forward around this time of year, around Samhain, that a lot of witches that they want to honor? Who would it be?
Hecate. She is often known as the queen of the witches. She's can be in the underworld. She's associated with a lot of that stuff. I think she's often misunderstood. She's not just a quote unquote dark goddess, but she does have a lot of associations with this time of the year.
Is she the triple goddess? Am I getting her right? Is Hecate the triple goddess or can be the maiden and the crone? Is that her or am I getting her confused?
No, she can be. In certain traditions, she is. And then some not. There's different names for each of the goddesses, I guess, the mother, maiden, and the crone. So it kind of depends on what you follow. I honor her as her, not necessarily the triple goddess. I just recognize that she also can represent those phases in my life.
Okay,
I'm approaching cronehood.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
So what does she offer? Like, what does she offer when we want to honor her and we're asking maybe for her guidance or her, you know, her strength? Like, what is she known for?
I can only speak from my experience but in my experience, I reached out to her in a very dark place in my life. I needed a mother figure. I needed somebody to help me feel like I was protected and safe. And that's what she originally, I remember just getting on my knees. I lit a candle. It was just a white one because I didn't have anything else. And I just started crying and asking her to be there because I had no invocation or proper way that I knew how to talk to her. I just, in that moment, I was very lost and a beautiful feeling of somebody just wrapping me in a big blanket happened at one point while I was crying. And that's the moment I feel that I connected with her.
I think like what you said a little bit earlier, it's like, because you said like, I'm like you, I read a lot and I'll read something and somebody or something will connect, you know, it'll resonate with me. And I'm like, okay, I want to take that. I want to incorporate that practice or I want to incorporate that ritual into my life that works for me, you know? So I can see how you were just like saying, okay, you were at a time in your life and you were looking for some help.
Yeah, I was.
You're looking for some help. And
I was
she,
like, please help.
Yeah, right. And she resonated with you. That's pretty cool. Do you work with tools? Do you like to work with tools?
I do. I have most of the traditional tools I will use on like my working altar. I have a bell that I like to use to, you know, clear energy or raise the vibration. I have a wand that I made. I have an athame. I don't have a bowling knife, but I have a kitchen knife that I have like turned into my sacred knife that I cut physical things with.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
So you do. So do you make your own oils?
I do.
You do. Because you said you had a garden. So
I do, yeah.
I'm assuming you grow magical herbs and you use those in your spell work.
Mm. Yes, I use them. My herbs go some in the kitchen and some double for my witchcraft practices as well. I like my hobby gardening thing is baneful of flowers and baneful plants. So I grow a lot of belladonna and henbane, some foxglove this year too. So I got a lot of variety of that kind of stuff, which happens to be connected to, you know, my deity. So that helps. In having stock of stuff that she likes.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. The belladonna, do you put it in tea? Do you use belladonna?
No.
No, you don't. So what do you use the belladonna for?
So in my practice, I use the berries for offerings when I am wanting to, if I'm asking her to help me with my business, if I want help being prosperous, because the fruit of plants represents that prosperity and abundance. So that's something I would give her for that or for thanks. Mm-hmm. The flowers are absolutely beautiful, and those represent that springtime vibe, that Ostara vibe, that beginning of manifestations. And those I really like giving her specifically. I really don't use those a whole lot unless it's just as an offering to her. I do buy, because I don't trust myself to make any of the salves and oils, but
belladonna is toxic, so you have to be careful. You have to really know how to use it, because I do know somebody who knows how to use it really well, and she makes it, and she uses as a sedative in her tea, you know, but she knows how to do that. She knows how to do it.
Yes.
You want to make sure you know how to do it, right?
Yes. For anybody out there listening, I wear gloves to handle all of my plants, because every part of the plant, including the root, is toxic.
It's toxic. Yeah, it's toxic. Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
So you got to know what you're doing, right?
Yes.
That's pretty great. It's pretty cool. I love that. Yeah. I love to, I don't grow, because where I live, I don't grow anything, but I love to buy certain herbs, dried herbs, and then mix them up in the pestle and mortar and make oils out of them, make anointing oils. I do that a lot. And I like to do a lot of candle magic. Do you do candle magic?
Same. I love to burn stuff.
So, me too.
Yes. Like, it's kind of like a running joke with a podcast. Like, if it's a spell I'm going to share, something's burning. Something's going to get burnt.
I pretty much burn every time I do a spell too.
Same. I love making my own incenses. So a lot of my herbs go into that. I have certain blends that I create every fall because I have a new harvest of herbs. So I have a protection blend just as like a general purpose ones. I have an abundance one and a protection one, and I have one to release. Those are just some of the blends, but I will replenish that around this time of the year.
Very nice. Is there certain times of the month that are more powerful? Like, do you specifically do magic on new moons and full moons and waxing and waning times? Like, how do you do that?
So for me, personally, I recognize the dark moon. So the dark moon is a 0% illumination. And a lot of times that's because it's associated with Hecate or Hecate. I want to make sure, like, you can say it either way. And then also with Lilith, because they're goddesses of like the liminal space. So on the dark moon, I don't do anything but give thanks and I honor them. When it turns 1%, like the next day, then that's the time I do manifestation work, because we're gaining, you know, the moon grows from them forward. So if I want to do anything that I want to bring to me, love, abundance, joy, whatever it is, I'm going to do it on the new moon. And on the full moon, for me, that's all about the acute, like what happened from new moon to full moon. Have I manifested what I wanted? Do I need to give thanks? I don't really manifest much on the full moon, because for me personally, it's a day of thanks and to reap the benefits of my manifestation. Does that make sense?
Perfect. Yeah, that makes great sense. This is a perfect place to take our second break, and we're going to talk more about this when we come back. So stay tuned. Welcome back. Okay, so right before the break, we were talking about, Danae was talking about her rituals that she does on full moon and a new moon and then the dark moon, which is right before the new moon. And I do the same thing. I do a lot of manifesting rituals on the new moon every month. And yeah, and then the full moon, it's the same. I kind of do more of a gratitude kind of thing, sort of like what you do. So that's pretty interesting. So yeah, it's fun. I love doing that. I write them in my calendar, like, okay, it's the new moon and in whatever sign it's in. And yes. You can do one for the year, you know, it's which is mm-hmm. cool, and read them on the new moons for the whole year, what you want to manifest. So why don't you share with us a little something that we can do, like a ritual that's kind of cool that we can do on Samhain?
Okay. So I'll do the kids. So if you have kids, because one of the questions I get asked a lot around this time of year is, I have kids. I want them to be involved in Samhain. So mm-hmm. I love this one. So cut out little paper leaves, like, you know, the pretty fall leaves, and have your kids write something, if they can write, if not, just ask them what they want you to write, something that they're thankful for this year. Mm-hmm. And they can decorate it and do whatever they want, and then have them put it in your Samhain cauldron. It can be just a big old cereal bowl or something, or a mixing bowl. But it makes them understand, or helps them understand, the concept of gratitude. And that's what this, to me, that's as a pagan, that's what this time of the year is. And if your kids are old enough to understand the concept of death, you can also have them do the same thing, have a leaf, and then write messages to who they missed that passed away. And it helps them understand the concept of death and gives them some kind of action that they can do to help them cope. I feel like it's a good thing to do, because that's also what this holiday is about as well, is our beloved dead, and we miss them. So that, to me, that's kind of a neat thing to do with the kids. Of course, I like glitter and all that stuff to add to it.
Do you like that if it's in the cauldron or out, if you're outside, do you like light that on fire?
I will. Yes.
The kids. I need to be careful with fire and kids.
Yes. I will take it outside, and I have a fire pit. If you don't have a fire pit, like, you know, it, whatever you have that's safe to burn
right,
in, and I will pour them into my fire pit from the cauldron. And then you can buy this like powdered stuff that makes your flames different colored. So before I pour them in, I will put a little bit of that colored sand stuff. So then when you dump it in, it like makes this really cool witchy, you know, burst of beautiful rainbow flames. And it's just, kids love that. I love that.
Oh my God, that sounds like fun. I didn't even know they had that. I got to look into that. Yeah,
yes.
I got to look into that when we get off the air. I'm going to go and see if I can find some.
Yes, you can get it on Amazon. That's where I found mine.
You can get anything on Amazon.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but while we were on our little break, you were telling me about your abundance jar. So I was going to ask you anyway, what can we do what do you do for manifesting? Mm-hmm. Because I'm all about manifestation.
Sure.
So what kind of ritual do you do? So your abundance jar sounds great. So tell me about
it. Yes. So, I have an abundance jar, and it's so fun to make from young to old. So you'll need a jar with a lid. I like those mason jars because we want to make sound, and we want people to have this clinking sound with the stuff we put in it. So a small jar with a lid. I like to use gold, silver, and or green glitter, and just have fun with it. Pour whatever, because these are the colors that are most associated with like financial abundance. So you can add all that in there. I like to add sunflower petals and chamomile, and then like a few sticks of cinnamon. The reason being, sunflower petals are all about the sun. The sun is a action, I guess, element. It's not really an element, but you know, the sun is fire. Fire is action. So that lights some action to your spell. And it also is associated with money, as is chamomile. Cinnamon also is a great abundance, like, herb for, you know, you can put in your coffee, do whatever you need to do. But I put
cinnamon in my coffee every day.
Same. So, but get creative with it. Use what you have in your cabinet. I don't, you don't have to do this exactly, but I put 4 coins in there. Before I put the coins in, I hold them in my hand and I just state something like, money flows to me without obstacles. I am grateful for past, current, and future abundance. And then I toss them in there. And then I close the lid. I'm going to decorate the outside of it with like sigils or runes or symbols that mean money or whatever I'm trying to bring in. So I want money, abundance, and joy usually for those. And then I shake it every Thursday. I go to my money altar, my abundance altar, and I shake it. I run around my house and I say my affirmations. I do.
Love
I shake it. And it's so fun. And it's, I do it by myself, but if you have kids, it's even more fun. But you run around the house, you shake it and you're like, I am worthy of abundance. I am joy. Joy comes to me freely or whatever you want to say. And
right.
I just run around my house until I feel like I'm done. And then I go put it back.
I love that. Why Thursday?
Thursday is associated with Jupiter, and Jupiter rules Jupiter's finances and abundance.
I had a feeling that that's what it was.
Yes. But you could do it any day. You could do it every day if you want to.
Right. Of course. Of course you could. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really cool. So I like
it's
that.
A lot of fun.
I like that abundance jar. Now, how long do you keep it? Do you keep it for 1 year? Do you, and then change it out? What do you do with your abundance jar?
I actually feed mine. So in addition to me running around, if I have change, especially if I'm doing the laundry and I'm cleaning out everybody's pockets and I find change, I put that change in my abundance jar because I'm feeding it. And that's, or whatever, if I find like an acorn, that's a symbol of abundance. I might throw that in my jar too. And some people might say, oh my gosh, if you unseal your jar, that's so bad, but you do you, boo.
Yeah. So you just keep the jar forever? It's just,
I do.
You have it. You just keep yours forever. Right. Okay.
I haven't changed mine in years. I add to it, carefully so I don't overflow it. Cause I still want like space to shake it and make noise.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a
gotta
good idea.
That.
I really like that.
It moves around the energy. It's just,
I'm going to make an abundance jar. Cause I do. I love doing rituals.
Yes.
I love it. Love it. Love it. So that's why the manifesting postcards to me is what it's about. It's a whole ritual.
Absolutely.
That's why I love it so much. So
me
so
too.
Anything else I can do, I'm down. I'm definitely
absolutely
down for it. So do you have your own grimoire?
I do.
Yeah.
Grimoire or Book of Shadows. I think now those are pretty much interchangeable terms.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do have one.
Yeah,
I've had it for a while.
Yeah. And so you write your spells and very cool.
I journal in it as well. I journal.
Do you?
Yes, because I think it's important to debrief after a spell or a ritual. Like, how did it feel? And I keep, say I run to my self-love spells and I pick one in my grimoire, Book of Shadows, I do it. And then afterwards I journal about it and I write the date and the time that I did it. I really try to write like the moon is in whatever it is in as well. Just kind of just information that way I can go back and go, okay, that spell did not work. Why? And I can look at my feelings afterwards and maybe I can figure out why it didn't work.
Yeah.
Or if
that's
it did
a
work,
really good idea actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you
so
said
it's
you
cool.
That is really cool. So you said you do. You say you have a self love spell. What
I have,
can you share?
I have a lot. So
can
one of
you
my
share
favorites
one
to
quick
do.
For us. Yeah, please.
Yes.
We all need more of that.
Absolutely.
The more we love ourselves, the more we love other people. So it's always good.
Yes. So I actually, one of the ones I love so much is to grab a piece of rose quartz. And we work with sympathetic magic a lot. So this rose quartz, I now name it's Danae. This is Danae. My rose quartz is Danae. And I hold this thing and I say my affirmations. I may, be really extravagant and set up all kinds of incense, but I'm going to grab it and I'm going to ask my deity, the earth, whatever you want, to please help empower me to love myself. And I'm going to put this crystal in like a beautiful, I have a silver platter I put it on and I put rose petals and jasmine and all kinds of beautiful love associated flowers. And she charges there. So as this crystal charges, so do I. And that's really simple, but it's beautiful and it looks really cool.
Yeah, I'm sure. And yeah, then what do you do once you, and then after you charge her the crystal, what do? Do you like put it under your pillow or?
You can either leave it on that altar, leave it on that little bed of flowers for a whole moon cycle. And then, you know, to kind of, I guess, to wipe mm-hmm. that clean. So it's not you in that crystal anymore. Take it outside mm-hmm. and put it in the moonlight. You can put it under your pillow, like you said, put it in your pocket. When I go places that I feel insecure, I'm going to put that in my pocket and then I'll just place it back on the flowers when I get back home.
I like that. So you put you into your rose quartz and you're sending it self-love. Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good idea. Very simple. Super easy for any of us to do. And you can use whatever you associate with love too.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be the flowers that you use. Yeah.
Nope, you don't. And as far as ingredients go, I just go with my gut. If it's not a closed practice, then I'm free for all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Very cool. All right. So we only have like 5 minutes, if that. So let's talk a little bit about your podcast. I was on your podcast, which you owned podcast last year, June 16th, which is my mom's birthday, 2020. It was so fun. We talked all about manifesting. I mean, what do you like to, you like to interview guests like I do. So what do you like to talk about on your podcast?
I love to talk about things I don't know about because I'm like a forever student. So lately I've had some people on to talk about palmistry, and I'm not very good at tarot. So I am taking lessons from somebody, and I had them come on and kind of give a history of tarot and where it came from and address some myths. So I like to learn. So I tend to seek out guests that I can learn from too.
Yeah, me too. I love to learn from other people. A couple of years ago, I learned how to read the Lenormand cards, which were really cool.
Ooh.
And they're still, I mean, I'm such a novice. It's like, they're so interesting. Yeah, but it's fun. What days did your podcast? I mean, I know it's up now for anybody to listen, but do you air a new one like a certain day of the week, or how do you release them?
It's every other Tuesday, and this would have been, this Tuesday would have been it, but we're doing a special episode on Friday that'll be live in the coven, and then it's going to be recorded and then put up on Podbean and, spread around afterwards. We're going to do an open Q&A. Brad and I, my husband and I, are going to share some spooky stories. We are constantly surrounded by the paranormal, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Oh my God. You're surrounded by the paranormal. Well, you did say you speak to the people who have passed over. So we didn't even get to touch really on that.
Yes. That's part of what I do for a living is I'm a psychic medium.
Wow. And have you always had that ability? I mean, even as a kid?
I think so. I was one of those weird kids. They would catch me in the closet with the door shut. So it was quiet and dark. And I would talk to what I called my dots. There were these little light orby things that I could see when I was little, and I would talk to them. And of course, your parents like, okay, don't be weird. Stop doing that. So I did. But later on, when I started getting into witchcraft, which was around the age of like 13 or 14, I started to reconnect with that a little bit.
That's so wild. I love that. Yeah. I'm meeting more and more people who can have that ability and do that. It's crazy. There's no coincidences. And really quickly, are you still doing your courses on the Witchy Woman Academy?
I am.
You still have courses?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. I have new courses up, and we're in the middle of the fall semester of my magical mentoring program. So I have some students that are in there. They'll graduate in December.
Wow. So you teach people how to use magic? Is that what you do?
I do. Yeah. Magical mentoring is creating your specific witchcraft practice. So I help people decide how they want to practice. And we go through all kinds of the basics of witchcraft, but also give them the freedom to explore and figure out what works for them.
That sounds really interesting. And how long?
It's a lot of fun.
Is it live? Is it like how long are the courses?
Okay. It's 12 weeks and I have it on a platform where they get each week, the content and the classes. And then we have two meetings, live meetings, one with a group and one personal to go over their coursework and I do readings for them every time as well. And then they also get some energy healing in the group session. So we do Reiki as well to help support them through this journey, because it can be kind of, you know, eye-opening and overwhelming at times. So I feel like the energy healing is something that helps that process.
Yeah. Yeah, we can all use more of that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Really quick, what are you guys, so are you doing anything like specific this Halloween with your family? I mean...
I am handing out candy to the kids in the neighborhood. I decorated my house all spooky, and then I'll probably do my own ritual afterwards.
Oh, that sounds fun. That's what I'm doing too. Sounds like a plan. Well, thank you so much, Danae, for being here with me today. It was so fun talking to you. And please check out her website, witchywomanpodcast.com. And you can find out you can listen to her podcast and find out all about her. Thanks for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave, and wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Happy Halloween. Peace.